Welcome to Skills Journey, hosted by Emil Rovenheimer and Yanni Brofenboer from PopUp, the People Upliftment Program. This is your passport to a transformative journey where we uncover the power of skills together.
What a privilege. For those of you who have been following the conversation with Lukas Lukhoff, we are now going to the third conversation to just unpack his skills journey. He's the CEO of the Hatfield CID, which is the City Improvement District. And they have done incredible work with the city and the stakeholders and the university to make Hatfield a clean, safe space and dream about it becoming a world-class city. And we're so excited to continue the discussion, Lukas, just around your own skills journey. And we've unpacked some of the work that you are doing. We've unpacked some of the skills that you've developed, particularly with the fact that people are so central to what you're doing and relationship management is so central to everything that you've accomplished. But today we want to dive into a little bit of a discussion around the challenges, the decisions, the inflection points where you're confronted with, you know, sometimes this journey is just not easy. And what has that been for you, and maybe some of the stories and some of the choices that you've had to make?
Thank you, Emil, and thank you for this privilege again. I think if I can take it back a couple of years, probably a little bit like 20 years, I would say. I took my wife out to dinner one night, and at the dinner table I said, I got something very important to ask you. And she said, no, what now? Is there something wrong? I said, no. I want to ask your permission to do a master's degree. It's going to be a taxing time, taxing 3 years of our lives. And she had a glass of wine. So, I mean, the answer came easy, quite easy. I absolutely go and do it. You know, so, I mean, and I didn't set her up. I mean, she just had the glass of wine. Yeah. So anyway, and I said to her, I said, I prayed about this, and I've asked God's permission. And the Lord said to me that I must go and do it as if I'm doing it for Him. All right. So that's how I got into it. All right. But never did we think, and ever could think, that mountain of work, all right, would have such an impact on our family structure. So I drove to Potchefstroom every second Saturday, leave at 5:15 in the morning, come back at 4 in the afternoon for lectures. Then we had group work at least twice a week. So for a 3-year period, I was almost like an absent father. And even today when I talk about my wife, I say, you're the glue of the family. When I had to go and do some other stuff, you kept the family going. You kept everything together. She's the glue, all right? So I think this pursuit of continuous learning, continuous improvement has got a cost. I don't think people mustn't think that it just comes easy, because I don't think it does, especially if you work, have a full-time job, and study, all right? I remember going to Namibia on holiday, and when all the guys went fishing, I said, boys, I got to stay because I got to do an assignment. and they thought I was mad, all right? But I knew I had to do it, because that thing had to be in sort of the second day as we came back. So what I'm trying to say is that this learning experience has got a cost, and you must understand that you'll have to say no to the niceties sometime. To be able to pursue this dream, to be able to do this thing. Because there's a saying that says, nothing significant was ever done without passion and sacrifice. Misunderstand it. I mean, it's really important that you understand. So I have a dream of changing the city. I want to make a contribution of making the capital the most beautiful capital there is. I believe the model that we have in Hatfield, we need 30 of those in the capital. We need 30 CIDs right through that. And I think it's important. It's not going to be easy to do, all right? But it's possible. And I think it's all about, are you willing to stick your neck out and to say, I'm going to do this? when I started with the CID, the first thing I said was, I'm going to build a world-class suburb at the southern tip of Africa, and don't tell me that I can't do it because I'm in Africa. All right. And I was very passionate and determined about it. All right. I had visitors from Tanzania the other day. They want to build a university with a sort of a student town environment, and they walked in the streets of Hatfield, and the guy looked at me. He said, "This can be Paris, you know that, you know," which was such a compliment, yeah, to where we've been and where we're going to. Just some history. I mean, you know, the CID was formed in 2003. And one of my former colleagues, Dani Basson, he gave me some stats. There were between 1,600 and 1,800 priority arrests in those first 3 years. Just work it out. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. We're down to less than 40 now. Mm. 1,600 to 40. All right. Amazing. You understand the transformation that have taken place? Yes. But it only came through people supporting us and never taking our eyes off the assignment. Sure. And I think that's critically important. People must understand that assignment that you have, please let that thing go to burn in your heart and go to burn in your mind, and you say that I'm going to do it, all right? And that I think is critical. But on the way, you must please understand, we all eat some potholes, eh? It's unfortunate. It happens. And maybe a story that I can share is, we have this absolute key output that the safety of students is one of our absolute key things. Mm. And about 4 years ago, a student was shot and killed in Hatfield. It was probably the darkest days I've ever had in my time in Hatfield. Mm. You must understand, honest student, future leader, and his life was just taken away. Now, how do you deal with this, all right? Because your stakeholders, and predominantly your major stakeholder, is expecting you to, listen, we're giving you money. Are you keeping this, are you keeping this precinct safe or not? And then it's not just that. I mean, these political parties that hold rallies and they want you to come and talk there, and you got to face the music. And that's when you really learn that we serve an awesome God. It's in those seriously dark spaces where you go in and you say, Lord, now you need to help. Please help me manage the situation, because by myself, I just have got no hope. I don't know what to do. And I think the only thing that helped and saved that situation was in the humility and in the empathy that we as an organization showed, and what we did after that to learn from the experience, all right? So what did you put in place to ensure that something like that, I don't think you can say it will never happen again, but that the probability of that happening again, all right, is going to be way less, yeah. All right? So what have you done, all right? So as I said, world-class technology being put in and those sort of things. In this pursuit of your dream, you must understand that you're going to experience some tough moments. At work, yes. Also in your family. If you lose a few friends, take it. It's part of the package. I certainly have lost a few friends in the process. But there's something bigger. And the dream is to make a contribution to make the city of ours a better place.
Lucas, I think for us who live in Tshwane and have walked Hatfield streets, there's definitely so much peace when you walk there. And I love you can't give something to people who that you don't have. And I can just see that you're leading your group of ambassadors with so much humility, but it's also because they share the dream. It's not just something that you're carrying by yourself. How did you take that dream that was yours, and how did you pull people in into this?
The only way of doing that is when I absolutely believe that there's a radio station in everybody's mind. What do you, WIIFM? What's in it for me? You know? You know?
That's how you sell the dream.
Okay. And the thing is this, the almost nonverbal contract, all right, or non-written contract between me and my people is that we are here to serve the people of Hatfield. So, and predominantly the word is serve. Yeah. Every one of us. We have a service role. We serve the people. We're not here to be served. All right. So, when I explain to them that the university is in the top 5% in the world, and that, understand that this periphery, this precinct, all right, that we manage, got to reflect the same thing. Once they understood the reason why, they said, no, yes, I want to make a contribution. I want to make a contribution. And because you got to talk to them the whole time and say, do you realize the contribution you're making? A story. I mean, I got many stories. Christopher Satole, one of my ambassadors, was cleaning East Street. Every one of those guys got their own street, and he saw a student sitting close to the where the N4 comes into town, and she's sitting crying, and Christopher walked over. He said, "What's wrong?" She says, "No, I've given up." So Christopher said, "Why are you giving up? You got your whole life in front of you, hey?" And Christopher stood there by that girl for 4 hours, didn't move, because he didn't want her to walk straight in front of a vehicle or something like that to hurt herself. All right. Now, in my book, he's a hero.
For sure.
He's a hero in my book. And I've made sure that the whole team knows, all right, that Christopher's a hero, all right? And it's these things that I can talk about, and there are many stories that I can talk about where just normal people, and that's probably what I want to say is, where normal people do extraordinary things,
yes.
All right? And there's this thing, any act of kindness changes the whole universe, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right? And that's what we say. Every time that we do something nice and decent, fix a pothole, fix a water pipe, do some paving, help somebody with a crisis, all right? We make it better, all right? And that's comes from a premise where we say as an organization, primarily we are there to serve the people of Hatfield. That's our job, and that's what it's all about.
That's incredible, Lucas. I do want to zoom into something you said earlier about one of those inflection points in your journey about the MBA, right? Where
it was
a big decision. But I think what stood out for me is that inflection point is not only kind of your own journey. It deeply affects your family, and it kind of opens up this discussion around mentors and supporters, right? People along this journey that without their presence, input, wisdom, support, service, this doesn't work right. And don't you want to just highlight some of those relationships or some of those moments where because of someone else's service, because of someone else's Lucas or CID, because of someone else's input in your life, it's actually supported you along this journey?
Yeah. Emil, absolutely. There are fundamental people that played a pivotal role in this journey of ours, I believe in coaches, right? You know, you have a spiritual coach, you have a sometimes we have an eat coach, all right? You have a gym coach and you have a golf coach and, you know, all right. But certainly business coaches is absolutely important. And those are people, captains of industry, all right, that will talk to you and say, tell me your story. What's your situation? And then he will just sit and think and he says, have you thought about that? Or have you thought about that? And I was very privy to have some really, really clever people who supported me in this journey. If you ever think that you're going to do it alone, I think you will fail badly, 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 badly. This is a team thing. If you want to change a city, all right, it's going to take a lot of people to support you with a lot of wisdom because you don't know everything. You just don't, all right? And, you know, if you have an attitude of a Buddha in a china shop, I mean, I think that's probably the amazing way that you're going to burn, all right? So before you do something, just make sure that you test it, all right? I have the privilege of had unbelievable chairmen, leaders in my life, registrars, Professor Nick Rivie is one of them, my current CEO, Sandile Mthenyane. Extremely cool-headed people, very cool-headed people, but they will listen to you and they will say, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And because every one of us have got a blind spot.
Yes.
You must please understand you got blind spots, all right? How do you surround yourself with people that you trust so much that they will help you to show you your blind spots and be truthful to you? And that they'll do it in such a way because they care about you, all right? They're not there to criticize. You don't take it as criticism. Mm. You say, thank you for saving me. Thank you for saving me. Because if I went that way, I would have burned, all right? And I think this whole aspect of having a network of mentors and different mentors at different levels with different skill sets I think it's critically, critically important for anybody if you want to succeed in any way. Otherwise, I think gunning it alone? No.
So, Lucas, on this point, in my experience with a lot of the younger generation that we work with in Papa, but also that I've worked with in other contexts, mentorship is quite rare, and coaching is quite rare, and I don't think it's something that you know, the up-and-coming generations necessarily know how to engage or know that it's necessary or know how to kind of approach and conduct that. So do you have some advice for people that are a little bit earlier on their journey, just starting to kind of appreciate the value of coaching and mentorship, but not really sure how to start cultivating that potential within their space and kind of get access to people? What suggestions or comments would you have?
Emil, I think the identification process is probably pivotal. It's probably, I think one of the things that I think is critical is it helps a lot if somebody has the same worldview as yours. I think, as I said a number of times, I have a Christ-centered worldview and I don't want to do anything outside of that. Because I believe that there's a certain way of thinking and certain way of doing life. So I think the identification of that, I think finding people, and you must understand, it's a tricky one because you don't necessarily want cheerleaders. You don't necessarily want cheerleaders, all right? What you want is somebody that you trust, implicitly trust, all right? Because of a particular skill set, all right, and you ask him, that person, are you willing to give me a bit of your time? Can I have an hour or maybe half an hour for a coffee that I can just bounce some things off you, all right? Now, I have a number of those people in my lives. Buy them breakfast, all right? It's a small price, trust me, all right? Buy them breakfast and talk, all right? But just talk about things because we need people to help us. But so identify people with specific skill sets, all right, with the same worldview, All right, which I think is critically important. Yeah. I really think it is. And ask their permission to spend time with them. And then what's important is it's all good and well. You now go out and you identify it, but you have to make time in your diary and you got to stick to it.
Yeah.
If you say that I'm going to have coffee with you every 3 months, because sometimes 3 months is quite okay, yeah. All right? Because if you have three or four of them, you'll see one of them every month. Every month you'll have a coffee with somebody, all right? But it will be a different topic every time,
yeah.
All right? So I have a spiritual mentor, all right? And I have breakfast with him. And it's incredibly important for me to stick to those things. But I have a business mentor as well, all right? Choose the four areas of what it is and try and take that time out in your diary and stick to it. And please, you pay, all right? Don't let the other person pay.
Put that in your budget. Lucas, thank you so much for your wisdom and such valuable conversations. And then also, please help us to connect with the CID. How, if people are in the area, how do we connect with you? Is it website, number? So yeah, please give that to us.
All right. So we have a social media platform, the Atfield CID website. There's a Facebook page. We've made the website interactive. So people can send me messages or whatever it is. But I think what's important is that the CID don't see themselves only as an island. We'd like to see this model replicated in the city. The dream is that we work with other communities, other nodes. My view is that we need to replicate this 30 times. I know that Menlyn is currently talking about it. I know that Roslyn is looking at establishing that. I know that Centurion is looking at that. I think it's about working with the city, especially the city manager's office, Bernard Arnekom, who's the director responsible for these kind of models, and that we help. I think it's about the IP, the intellectual property is not mine. It belongs to God.
Mm.
All right? He's invested it in me. Every person that came my way have shaped my life, all right, and have put me in a position where I share gladly, all right, with other areas who want to do this. And I think that's the way that we will infiltrate the city, in a way to say that, come have a look at our model. And there's the business plan, all right? There's the budget, all right? Just as a framework, you're going to work out your own, but you don't have to reinvent the wheel.
And that's the dream. That's your dream.
That's the dream. My dream is to make a significant impact in this city, to deal with systemic brokenness, and deal in a big way with criminality.
Mm.
In saying that, one of the dreams that we have is the old dream of job creation. We're currently busy in a process with the municipality where we, on the extended public works program, are going to take on additional staff, and we're going to clean a much bigger area. We'll double in size that we're going to do. So what I'm saying to people is that there are structures and methods and mechanisms to be used to make an impact. The big question is this: are you a consumer or are you a contributor?
Okay.
That's the big question. And every person's got to answer that for himself.
Lucas, thank you so much. There was one thing that we still wanted to ask you, and that was about the app. Because there's this amazing app that you guys have rolled out in Hatfield. And how can people find information on that? Or is that also on your platform?
The Atfield CID Panic app is on the app stores. You can find it on any app store of any smartphone. It's a very affordable app. In a sense, what we've done is we've Uberized security. There's 350 companies nationwide that would respond to you if you have a any situation. It could be a medical situation. It could be a vulnerability situation. It could be a vehicle that's not running anymore. So so that app is there. We're in a process to test it with students at the moment. We're having some tremendous successes with it. We really believe that is a way. Our dream is to have 65,000 of people, of users, next year. We're just short of 5,000 now in this sort of test phase. And it's really, really good at the moment.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lucas. I feel full, if I can say it like that. Your wisdom, the discussion, it's been so insightful, but just inspiring.
Thank you.
Thank you for saying yes to the call and for being a positive contributor, as we at Pop-Up say. We really do appreciate you, and thank you for your time.
No, great pleasure. Yeah. I felt the same way when Emil spoke at the Pop-Up celebration.
Yeah, that was a special event.
No, that was
truly
special. You guys are going to be so proud of that. I tell you what, it was just something. I get the opportunity to go to events, and that was right up there.
Awesome, thank you.
And it was inspiring. You've inspired a lot of people, and I think that's what it's all about. It's about getting more people to say, I'm not going to point fingers, but I'm going to get involved.
Yeah. Amen.
That's really what it's about. Really, honestly, that's what it's about.
Amen to that. So thank you for joining us on Skills Journey.
Thanks.
We are super thankful, and we are excited to have another guest with us next week. But you're welcome to join us then.